We are reading selected excerpts for the Yahrzeit of Ali. We're going to start with excerpt number 4 from Baal HaSulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot Umizbirot, Item 8. There are not enough words to measure His holy work in our favor. The doors of attainment were locked and bolted, and He came and opened them for us. Thus, all who wish to enter the King's palace need only purity and sanctity, and to go and bathe and shave their hair and wear clean clothes, to properly stand before the sublime kingship. You find a 38-year-old who subdued with his wisdom all his predecessors through the genius and through all times. All the elders of the land, the gallant shepherds, friends, and disciples of the godly sage, the Ramak, stood before him as disciples before the Ali. All the sages of the generations, following them to this day, none missing, have abandoned all the books and compositions that precede him. The Kabbalah of the Ramak, the Kabbalah of the First, and the Kabbalah of the Genius, blessed be the memory of them all. They have attached their spiritual life entirely and solely to His holy wisdom.
The souls which descend to be corrected, which are found to be ready for the correction, such that we identify them as, well, people shapes. These souls divide into many different parts. There are many divisions. The nations of the world, Israel, the priests, the Levites, and so on. Also men, women. There are many, many kinds. These souls are revealed gradually for the purpose of correction, and they were revealed from Adam Rishon, where the sin started from him and the correction started with him, and through to this day it continues. So we have souls which find themselves more or less related to the correction. This depends on the Rishimot in them, within those shattered souls. The soul of the Ari is very unique. It's impossible to describe. It's just not a person, not a human being. It's a gift from the heavens. And Kabbalists, in general, each one of them is not a human being. It's a spirit. But the Ari is nevertheless special. The Creator revealed through him such things, such a method that did not exist before him nor after him. The method of correction. The Messiah, son of Joseph. He gathered all of the corrections that came before and unified them, united them, ordered them, and he could express his attainments in books, in texts, which are relatively clear, so to speak, to one who attains. But it is possible to attain it. After the Ari, attainment began to operate in a very special manner.
It's
through the midline, Mocha and Liba, mind and heart, midline, the work of God with an inner kind of effort, as Baal Shem Tov then began to explain what the Ari meant. The Ari himself didn't speak about man's spiritual work almost at all, in a clear and easy to understand way. And Baal Shem Tov founded the work of the Ari as it relates to the work of man. But, however, it may be, there are no compositions such as the Ari's that came before him. We can't say what happened with all the rest of the compositions which were composed, but the Ari is a special point, and from that point, correction began. And so, when we follow his footsteps, there is no one greater than the Ari. We don't have greater intellect. We don't have, simply put, we don't have any source but him. It's impossible to describe what would have happened in the world if the Holy Ari was not found, was not revealed. We were, even before him, there were people who yearned for attainment, but they had no chance. They had no opportunity. However, after the Ari, and most especially after Baal Shem Tov, then the era of the Kabbalists dawned. And so we need to understand that he's our spiritual father. Yes. If not for the Ari, there wouldn't have been Baal Sulam. Is that clear? Well, so let's continue. You want to ask something, Dudi?
I'm not sure what to read, but what did he renew with all of that he collected all of the sources of the Kabbalists that came before and published it?
The innovation of the Ari was that he expressed his soul was so high, meaning his attainment was so high and broad, that he understood, grasped, established within his soul, organized or ordered the whole of reality from beginning to end. We see from his writings. See what the Malchu wrote, his student. That is also a wonder, that a student who studied with him for 18 months later went on to write 30 books. And what books? It's such technical books describing the accurate, real reality. He writes, that I heard, that perhaps I think I heard, and so on, or I didn't hear, and I thought about this, but it's like a recorder. He recorded within him 30 books from the Ari's words, and later wrote them. Some of them were found immediately, and some of them were through his son, and some through his grandson. That's a whole story of what happened with all those books, as is per usual with the wisdom of Kabbalah. But it's a very special thing. You could open, elucidate, and write in such a clear way, not using the language of the Tanakh, even though there are such writings there also, or the language of the Agadah. There is also some of that. He has some of the sayings of the sages and so on. But the main thing, he He put the wisdom of Kabbalah in clear words as a science. And that is truly a great thing. Without that, we would not be able to tolerate these styles which precede the Ari in our times. Because we are such a generation where we demand the actual truth and accuracy such that it is all complete and clear. The Zohar we tolerate to some extent because its language is very high, very sublime. It brings with it such a high and sublime and broad light that we feel that it's something special. You take it like you take medicine. The doctor comes, he gives you a pill. You don't know what it is, you just swallow it and that's it. Same thing with the Zohar. But all the rest of the books, if not for the Ari, they were written in such a way where we, the generation that wants to know, to understand, to study, to control, that all of that matter, we wouldn't have agreed with any other method of transmission, so to speak. So he did this specifically for our souls.
What have the Kabbalists added to the Ari if he's done everything?
They interpreted. They rewrote. Bala Sulam also writes about this. I didn't add a single word to what he disclosed. That's what he says. And there's nothing to add. It's truly so. Although he did collect and so on, but what did he? He interpreted. He clarified. But it's not that he disclosed anything beyond. Well, I can't really tell. I can't even come close to either of them. But Bala Sulam was proud to say he called himself the Ari Ashlag, as is also written on the walls of this place, that place where we studied with the Rabash. He spoke and we read, and today we'll read some more about the impregnation of the soul of the Ari within him, which is a special thing, such a gift that it's impossible to just be awarded with it. It's either yes or no. That's how it is. What can we do? But it's such a height that you can't even be jealous of him. It's something, it's very, very exalted. That is the Ari. But when we were with the Rabash one time, we went to the cemetery there in Tzfat. Well, I was there many times. We went to the mikveh and also to the cemetery, but with the Rabash, I went there once. He said, fine, let's go. So all of us went there, Hillel Gebstein and old Menachem. Everyone was present. It was the first 2 years I was with the Rabash. We went to Jerusalem, we went to Tiberias. No, I'm sorry, to Tzfat. Yes, we went to Jerusalem and Tzfat, and that's it. Yes. Later, I went there only with him, only the two of us. So when we went to Tzfat, we went down from the cemetery, through the entire cemetery, to the grave of the Ari. He didn't even stop there to read Psalms or anything, to say Kaddish. No, everyone just flowed past it, kept going. They didn't look at that stone, they didn't see whatever's written on it, and these big books and so on. They just passed it by as if there's no grave there. And I heard from many people that it's not his actual place, because there was an earthquake and all of the grave sites moved a bit. But the Rabash didn't really ascribe any importance to any grave. It's just a marker. Yes, just a marker. Of what? I don't know. It's meaningless. It doesn't say anything about the person. I saw that as just disregard. But that's how it is with Kabbalists. But himself, he... Yes. Ari Ashlag. The impregnation of the soul of the Ari. Yes, Danny.
Why do we call him the Messiah of Joseph? What's the difference? Why is he even called a Messiah?
I don't understand a lot about that. Messiah, son of Yosef. Yosef is tzaddik, righteous, tzedek, justice. Yosef, or tzaddik, the righteous, is the foundation of the world. That is the upper light. Mashiach, Messiah, is light. It's all lights that illuminate and operate that way. So Messiah, son of Yosef, I understand that it's the light that illuminates upon the world, giving it the method of correction. And the Messiah, son of David, that is Malchut, not Yesod, but rather Malchut. And when we implement the method of correction, we actually begin to correct, we implement the method of the Ari, the method of the Baal Shem Tov, the method of Baal Sulam and Rabash. It's all the same thing, really. Right? It's just better adapted to our days, to us. So we come to the correction, which is called Messiah, son of David. And of course, it's not a person, and it's not some spirit. It's just the state which we come to. The correction within the actual Malchut. That we approach it. We correct the first nine of Malchut, and then Rav Pali Mekabtziel comes, the general Zivug, and performs a correction over Malchut de Malchut. That's it. All right. Well,
I want to ask about Malchu.
Malchu, Rabbi Chaim Vital. It's you can't understand that. How can a person in 18 months study the wisdom of Kabbalah, understand it the way he did, to remember it the way he remembered it? Right? I don't know if he wrote down things. It's also impossible to write in a year and a half to write such a quantity of just handwriting. And then he wrote it, he expressed it in so many writings. I can't understand. As usual, like everything else in life. Look, how did Rashbi, when they wrote Zohar, the Zohar is not the 10 volumes we have. They wrote 100 volumes. 100 volumes, at least. The Zohar included the entire Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ktuvim, and many other things besides. It covered... It covered all of the literature which existed up to the time of Rashbi, interpreting it by way of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Perhaps even the Talmud. Because Rashbi himself is mentioned in the Talmud many times. And is also mentioned there in Dinim. There are many halachot, laws, which were established by Rabbi Shimon. So you see how they wrote. It's a different kind of perception of reality. These are people, our minds, our brains. We talked about memory once. Memory isn't memory. We connect to the collective mind, which is in the collective kli, the collective vessel. And one who connects to it, he has whatever he needs. And when he disconnects from it, he's forgetful, and when he connects to it again, he has everything he needs. And so there's no question about how they could write, and it was actually forbidden to write. You know, there was a prohibition. It was forbidden to write. All of the Tanakh, Moses wrote, yes, but actually, they never wrote. They would study by heart. The teacher speaks, the students absorb it, remember it. And they didn't conceive of writing it. There was no such thing. You listen, you absorb, you change according to what you absorb. It's absorbed in you. You connect to that mochin, to that mind, which is in the general system. And then to the extent that you're connected to it and compatible with it, that's what you have. That's the book of the heavens. And the teacher, merely gives you some contact points, points of contact with that upper book in the heavens, and it's up to you to connect to that general mind, that general. And nothing is actually reserved and kept in our minds, in our brains. That's not, it's not memory. Our minds, our brains work on the body. But all of the memories, the things which we actually study and learn in spirituality, most especially regarding spirituality, it's not kept in our minds. It's all kept outside of us. Yes.
So Malchu wrote the writings of the Ari, or did he connect to that database you're talking about?
He learned from the Ari whatever he learned from him, but it's not that he remembered it. He received from the Ari access, meaning how to be connected to the Mochin, to the general mind, and then later he could express it through writing. It's the same thing with us. If we reach spirituality, you begin to receive knowledge which doesn't come from your knowledge, from your intellect, but rather from what we call attainment. Attainment is not in our regular minds. It's through connecting to the Mochin.
I'm trying to compare it to Baal HaSulam. He gets to the attainment and wrote it by himself. And then here it's the Ari, wrote to whom heard, and then he wrote, and he connected to the Mochin.
No, at that time I don't think he was good enough to write. It's impossible. He was so young. He was 28. It's later. And he died old, 70-something years old. In those times, it was a very long life. It was very old. And so... I personally don't know what they wrote, what's written. Depends. If it's Baal Sulam, then you can understand, of course. But if not him, then the rest of the people who write stuff. You know, there are many people who write things. But that's how it is. Yes, who is it over there?
Why is it called the attainment of Ali and not of the Rahu of the Mahu? Because he's the one who wrote.
It's true that he wrote it, but he wrote what the teacher taught him. I understand, there is a question here, but he wants to emphasize the fact that these are all the words of the Ari, and that's what he heard. And where he's uncertain, he writes that I'm uncertain of this, I don't remember this exactly, meaning he was very meticulous about bringing to us only the words of the Ari.
So a Kabbalist typically writes from what he attained or from what he heard?
What he attains, according, of course, he learned from the teacher, and the teacher provided him guidance and access and how to open up the Book of the Heavens, the Parzufim, the Madrigot, the degrees. But he himself attains it, passes it through him. There is a matter of absorption into his own kli, reception, what he attains. But we see from the many things that he wrote that it's not necessarily that it came to him through attainment, but rather, I heard, I didn't hear, or I didn't understand, I think this and that. It's my opinion that this is like this or that. Meaning, we see that he relays the Ari's words. At some point, we'll come to understand these things also. Friends, we need to finish, you know? Right? I don't know. Is it till 6:30 or 7? So they're waiting there, I guess. They're waiting already. But all of the community are on their way. What do you mean by on the way? So how much time do we have left? 5 minutes. Well, that's until we go down. We'll talk about it more. All right, we can talk about it tomorrow. These are very special, special matters. The departure of Kabbalists, of great people, we always celebrate that. Why not birthday, like with Pharaoh? Nobody knows when Baal Sulam or Abash were born, or the Ari, right? Of Moses, it's written the day he was born and the day he died, but of others, it's not. We don't care about when they were born, only when they died. And we should understand that this... Well, we'll talk about it yet. Let's go.
Shabbat shalom. הנה מה טוב שבת אחים.